light. I'll move over. You need light. And we're really going to be sticking on just like a few. We've been going through this teaching real slow. Because you know what? We're not to rush through our master's words. We need to sit. He is the rabbi. He is our master. We need to soak in his words slowly and chew on them and meditate on what he's saying to us.
Sorry about that. Technical difficulty.
He needs his glasses.
Therefore, whoever you want people to treat you, so treat them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate. The gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. The gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.
Amen. Okay, so we've been studying. We've been going through chapters 5, 6, and 7. You know, the Sermon on the Mount where he's teaching his Talmudim. Really, he's teaching them how to walk according to Torah. He's teaching them him halakha, okay? So now he's taken a totally different shift. Now he's got some very serious words to say. Okay, verses 13 and 14, he said, go in through the narrow gate, for the gate that leads to destruction is wide, and the road is broad, and many travel in it. But it is a narrow gate and a hard road that leads to life, and only a few find it. So Yeshua is telling his Talmudim, us right now, this is a hard way. This is a hard road. You know, it's if you want the easy way, there's a wide road. It's full of destruction. It's full of deceit. It's full of lies. But if you want to follow me, it's a narrow way. It's a hard way, but it leads to life. And that's one thing we don't, you know, share. We make it sound like, oh, you know, you come to Yeshua and your life is going to be a breeze and everything's going to be fine. How do I know that? Because we have an enemy that fights against us every step of the way. And every day we make choices whether we are going to obey God or whether we are going to go the way of everybody else. I don't know if you've noticed, but there's a shifting coming. That, you know, that God is, you know, separating the wheat from the chaff. Those that truly mean business with him and those that just want to go their own way and do their own thing. You know, I read a lot about what's going on in, you know, in some of the mainline denominational churches, and it's an abomination to God. You know, they're ordaining homosexuals. It's not even a question anymore. You know, they're saying, they're calling things that 50 years ago wouldn't even be heard of. They're saying, oh, that's okay. You know, we don't need that. You know, we don't need this book anymore. You know, we're under grace. Believe me, look and find out what's going on there. And then there, but God is calling his people. He says, you know what? Are you going to follow me? It's a narrow gate, and it's a hard road that leads to life. And only a few find it. Those are tough words. Hallelujah. This is from Tim Hegg. Actually, he has an excellent study on the book of Matthew. I've got like, well, he's up to, I think, chapter 13, and it's like this thick. So he's only halfway through, but he's got some good commentaries on it if you ever want to study it. But Since having given the general summation of the sermon, Yeshua now appeals to his disciples to commit themselves to his message. He does so by presenting four warnings, each in the form of a pair. Okay, verses 13 and 14, he talks about two gates. In verses 15 to 20, he talks about two trees. In verses 21 to 23, he mentions two claims. And then 24 to 17, two builders. One is the truth and one is false. Okay? And we know it's either God's way. If you're not following God's way, then you're following HaSatan's way. It doesn't matter what name he puts on it, because he'll use many ways and many terms to get you to follow him. So there's only two ways. There's only, you know, HaSatan is out to be God. And he'll use religion and he'll use anything false to trick people and get them to go the wrong way. But Yeshua says there's only one gate that leads to life. There's only one true tree. There's only one claim that's, you know, we're going to get into these verses later. And there's only one true builder. The teaching of the two ways forms the opening of the Didache, which also incorporates the golden rule in its negative formulation. The Didache was a document in the early, I think it was second or third century, of believers, of, you know, of what they, their halakha, what they believed. And they said, there are two ways, one of life and one of death. There's a great difference between these two ways. Now, this is the way of life. First, you shall love God who made you. Second, your neighbor as yourself. And whatever you do not wish to happen to you, so not do to another. Again, this is very much Hebrew-Jewish thinking in those days. They didn't say, oh, the Torah's done away with. Because basically, they're telling you, you love the Lord your God. That's from Deuteronomy. And your neighbor as yourself. That forms the basis of walking in Torah. It doesn't mean all you have to do is love people and then, you know, you don't have to do the Torah. No, it says that is, it's something as Jewish people we say every week, you know, and that we're to love, because if we love God with all our heart's going to want to do what's pleasing to God. It just, and we're going to want to treat our neighbors the way the Torah says we're to treat our neighbors. And this is really what I want to focus on, is where Yeshua is talking about false prophets. I thought this was a really good, you know, teaching. Actually, it comes from some friends of ours in Israel, Sukkot David. And I saw it, I go, this goes in perfect with what Yeshua is talking about. Because we're living in a days where there are many voices out there, and we need to be able to discern who is really speaking from God and who is a false prophet. Okay? Matthew 7:15, beginning with 7:15. Beware of false prophets. They come to you wearing sheep's clothing, but underneath they are hungry wolves. You will recognize them by their fruit. Can people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every healthy tree produces good fruit, but a poor tree produces bad fruit. Here he's showing two trees. One's going to produce good fruit, the other one's going to produce bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, or a poor tree grow good fruit. And the tree that does not produce good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire, so you will recognize them by their fruit. Okay? Just because somebody's a great speaker and they're doing great things does not mean that they're anointed by God or they're speaking God's words. But what do? We go after, you know, the people with all the glitz and glamour, and God says, that's not how you judge who belongs to me. If you look at a lot of the people in the Bible, they weren't anything special. You know, there was a few like King David, yeah, he was, but he was started out as a shepherd. Most of the men and women of God that God used were everyday people like you and me. Differences is they wanted to follow God. Their heart was to do what God wanted to do, and they were willing to pay the price for it. Not listening to a false prophet is part of the 613 commandments listed in the Torah. Deuteronomy 13:1. If a prophet or someone who gets messages while dreaming arises among you and gives you a sign or wonder, and the sign or wonder comes about as he predicted when he said, let's follow other gods which you have not known, and let us serve them. What is the false prophet according to those verses? If we analyze the following verses, which are part of chapter 13 in Jewish versions, it is an open parashia, or paragraph, petuka, showing that the next verse seems to change topic, but doesn't. The paragraph takes a break to invite us to reflect upon the definition of a false prophet. So God's showing us in the Torah who a false prophet is, okay? Deuteronomy 12:32. Everything I am commanding you, you are to take care to do. You are not to add to it or subtract from it. 13, if a prophet or someone who gets messages while dreaming arises among you and he gives you a sign or wonder. So why are these verses linked? They talk about the same thing. Okay, these verses are talking about the same thing. The false prophet is he who adds or takes away something from the mitzvot, commandments that God gave in his word, his Torah. That should be a first clue, a first warning sign when you're hearing somebody teach. Are they adding to it or are they taking away from it? I mean, when this Torah is in your heart, red flags will start popping up. You know, you'll just start seeing. When people say, well, I've got a new revelation, that you won't find it in there. It's like, believe me, I've heard this. You know, it's like, I've got a great revelation, but you won't find it in the Word. It's like, red flag, because everything God says is in his Word, okay? The false prophet is he who adds or takes away something, okay? Moshe warned them regarding this in Deuteronomy 4, 2, and 3. In order to obey the mitzvot of Adonai your God, which I am giving you, do not add to what I am saying and do not subtract from it. You saw with your own eyes what Adonai did at Baal Peor, that Adonai destroyed from among you all the men who followed Baal Peor. Devarim 4:2, the numerical value of the final letters of nor take from it that you may keep, velu tigru min menu lishmoret, is 613, like the 613 commandments of the Torah. The books of Malachi and Revelation end by confirming the Torah. Malachi 4:4, remember the Torah of Moshe, my servant, which I enjoined on him at Horeb, laws, statutes, hukim, and rulings, judgments, mishpatim for all Israel. So it says, remember his Torah. We are to remember it, okay? It didn't take long, though, after the Jewish believers passed off, that all of a sudden teaching started coming in. Oh, you don't need that anymore. We're not under it anymore. But here God's saying, no, remember it. Psalm 119, which is a favorite psalm among a lot of people, it's all about the Torah. It's all about his word. Oh, how I love your Torah, your teachings and instructions. You know, they are life to me. Your word is a light into my path, you know. And it's just, you know, I love those psalms. It's all about the Torah. Revelation 22:17, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let anyone who hears say, come. And let anyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes take the water of life free of charge. I warn everyone hearing the words of the prophecy in this book that if anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life in the holy city as described in this book. So again, there's warning from the beginning to the end. You are not to add or take away from my word. Okay, there is no new scripture being written. It's right here. His word given in Mount Sinai is eternal. The first warning was about the Torah itself. Do not take away from it. But the second one about the danger of false doctrines, pagan doctrines, that get people lost. Choosing to keep this or that commandment is like taking away and corresponds to the accusation of the false prophet. Moshe was responsible to warn the people of the coming false prophets who would take away words of Torah and teach them not to keep the commandments or only to keep some of them, okay? Again, we are to be, you know, our spiritual radar needs to be on all the time, okay? Because there's many voices, there are many teachers out there, but Yeshua said, you'll know them by their fruits. What kind of fruit are they producing in their life? The renewed covenant or Brit Hadashah reveals that these false prophets are considered false teachers. 2 Peter 2:1, but among the people there were also false prophets, just as there are false teachers among you. Under false pretenses, they will introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, and thus bringing on themselves swift destruction. Dear friends, don't trust every spirit. On the contrary, test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. You know, same thing today. Even more so, the closer we get to Yeshua's returning, the more, again, there's going to be false teachers out there. That's why this we need to know this word inside out, because that's the only way you're going to discern if somebody's teaching falsely. If you don't know the word, how are you going to know when somebody's teaching you something, if it's true or not, if you don't know if that's what the word says? You need to know what this word says inside out. Because believe me, there's a lot of slick people out there. There was an example a few years ago about a revival that was going down in Florida. Okay, and all these people were flocking to this man, and he was doing some bizarre things. He was saying that, well, you know, angels were talking, telling him what to do, and kicking people to get him healed. And in my spirit, and I told our people, and they'll bear witness that were with me, this guy is not a god. You know, there was just warning signals. He had tattoos all over his body. He was just like doing bizarre things. He wasn't even preaching the word. I mean, they were just doing, you know, I was watching on YouTube, just doing some bizarre things that weren't in line with God. Okay, and I just says, well, you know what? God will take care of it if it's not of God. And what happened? That guy ended up leaving his wife for another woman. The whole thing fell apart, you know, and it just went, and he's, you know, totally out of the ministry. But how many people's lives were affected? So, but Deborah, you know, people were healed. Yeah, because God saw that person's heart. He was honoring their heart and their faith, okay? We need to be careful. Not everybody that's done, what do the words say about signs and wonders? Was this man teaching Torah? Was he telling people to repent, to come back to the Word of God? No. He was putting on a show, and people were flocking to him. You know, you get a place that's teaching Torah, not just here, but any synagogue. You know, I know Brother Sandy, they have a congregation, a synagogue in Texas. You know, they don't want to hear strong meat. They don't want to hear the truth. They're looking for a show. You know what? Beware of that. That's not what it's all about. If you look, study the people of the Bible, did they put on shows? You know, did they, you know, say, you know, come and see the Apostle Paul. You know, he's going to be on channel so-and-so, you know, or he's going to be at this, you know, this place. No, they were humble men and women of God doing what God has called them to do. And God is warning us, again, about false prophets. The false prophet teaches false doctrines, as, for example, worship of angels. The word says we are not to worship angels. Even the angel rebuked John when he fell down before him. He says, don't worship me. But we see in a lot of these, this New Age stuff that's coming in, they promote that kind of garbage. Okay? The doctrine of Balaam and Jezebel. Let's go to Acts 15, 19 to 20. And again, I was talking about I was talking with Eddie Chumney and Halissa and some other speakers about the Jezebel spirit, okay? And right away, a lot of people really don't know what it's about. They say, oh, that's, you know, women teachers, they got a Jezebel spirit. That's not what a Jezebel spirit is. A Jezebel spirit is sexual immorality, and it's a rebellious spirit. It's a spirit that's out to kill and destroy God's anointed. Okay? And it could work through men and it could work through women. You know, it's a spirit that is out to destroy. And I was talking again, we had a long talk with Eddie Chumney, and he says God was showing him the same thing. And Halissa Allman, he says God was showing her the same thing, that we need to war against, and it's trying to creep into the Messianic movement and destroy it by destroying congregations. Okay, why? Because you're hearing the truth, you're learning the truth, and the enemy doesn't like that. You know, we need to fast and war against it. Go to Acts 15, 19 and 20. Are you there? You want to read that?
Therefore, it is my judgment that we do not trouble those who are turning to God from among the Gentiles, but that we write to them that they abstain from things contaminated by idols, and from fornication, and from what is strangled, and from blood.
Okay, go to, actually, that's not the scripture I wanted. I wrote it. It is, no, you read it right. I probably typed it up wrong, which isn't the first time I did something like that. But anyway, go to Revelation 2:14. I'll find it later. If somebody knows what it is, but it talks about the spirit of Jezebel in Acts. Revelation 2:14. And the spirit of Balaam. But I have a few things against you, because there are some who hold the teaching of Balaam, who kept teaching Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit acts of immorality. That's what the spirit of Jezebel is. It tries to bring immorality in as a stumbling block, because they knew they couldn't get Israel any other way. So what did they do? They brought enticing women in to cause them to stumble, okay, and fall. Go to Revelation 2:20. But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches and leads my bondservants astray, so they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. So here, it's a spirit that comes in that tries to promote immorality. And believe it or not, there are some teachers, I won't mention their names, in the Messianic movement that are teaching that it's okay to have multiple wives. You know, that it says, well, you don't have to eat kosher. It doesn't matter what you eat. But that's not what the Word of God says. You know who I'm talking about? Well, it's I don't know if you know Moshe Konakowski. He's out of Florida. And actually, he's been promoting that it's okay to have more than one wife. And he also came out with a book that I've heard several people read is very sexually explicit about sex in the Bible, you know, but it's not real scriptural. You know, again, it's God is not going to honor or bless those kind of ministries, you know. Again, teaching salvation we are not saved by keeping Torah. We keep Torah because we're redeemed. We keep Torah because we love God. It was never meant for salvation, okay? Well, who was Torah given to? A redeemed people. So they could live a holy, set-apart, kadosh life. When we come to Messiah, we are to live what? A holy, set-apart, kadosh life. And God still specifies how we are to live as his people. Okay, that has never changed. Why would God say, oh, I made a mistake when I gave the Torah, so I'm just going to rip it up and start all over again? God never said that. Man said that. And what happened when we did away with God's moral laws and his teachings? What happened? All kinds of garbage came into the church. Immorality, you know. The divorce rate among Christians is just as high as those that aren't saved. Okay, should that be? Uh-uh. But it is, statistically. Salvation comes by faith and set apartness, sanctification by the Torah. I had somebody tell me, they were talking about this one meeting, and we need to be talking about sanctification. We are to be sanctified, set apart. Well, this one speaker was, they were telling me, I don't know who he was, but he wanted to teach on sanctification. The importance of being sanctified, set apart. God has called us to be a set apart holy people. And they said, no, we don't want you to talk about that. It's like, you know, we need that. We need that more than ever. I wanted to play some clips for you, but I couldn't get my my remote internet to work. Some of you on Facebook, you may have seen it. These old time preachers, you know, talking about what you don't hear anymore. He goes, does anybody teach repentance anymore? Nobody preaches repentance. You saw that? I wanted to play. It was so good. I think Reverend Wilkerson was one of them, and then one of them was a guy. Okay, well, maybe we could. Yeah, after we're done. It's powerful. Yeah, I mean, I was just like, I was weeping. You know, these are men of God that they preached repentance. They preached, these are old time preachers. They preached that you got to repent. He goes, nobody's teaching repentance anymore. This one guy says, you need to run from the churches that are putting on a show. Well, Sandy will play it. You know, I tried to get it to work here so we could play it, but I couldn't. It's powerful. And that's what, again, we're in the season of teshuva, you know, of repentance, of turning back to God's ways, you know. I love this time of the year. It's like, yes, God, you know, shine your light on me. Show me those things that are hidden, that I've pushed down and hidden. Because you know what? You can't hide anything from God. You can hide it from each other. You can even fool yourself and think that you're hiding it from you. But you see sometimes how you stumble. Say, God, no. Like David, search my heart. Show me, you know, your way. Show me. I want to be all that you want me to be, and I'm willing to pay the price. The second indication about false prophets is that they can make miracles, and how this time they were compared to false messiahs, which means anointed servants. The word messiah actually means anointed one, okay? Matthew 24:24, for there will appear false messiahs and false prophets performing great miracles, amazing things, so as to fool even the chosen if possible. So Yeshua's warning us. Moshe warned us. Yeshua's warning us. You know, just because somebody does miracles does not mean it's from God. Because how Satan can do stuff too. Didn't he, his Pharaoh's magicians, you know, do some miracles themselves? Okay? Revelation 19:20, but the beast was taken captive, and with it the false prophet who in its presence had done the miracles which he had used to deceive those who had received the mark of the beast and those who had worshipped his image. The beast and the false prophet were both thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur. You know, nowadays, a lot of people like to call themselves a prophet, okay? I believe that, Yeshua gave apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. But I believe the prophet in the New Testament is not the same as the prophets in the Tanakh. The prophets in the Tanakh were unique prophets. I mean, their words are still coming to pass today, thousands of years later, to the, you know, jot and tittle. You know, I think in the Greek, if I remember, that word prophet means preacher, exhorter, teacher of the word. There are gifts of prophecy where somebody would give a word, but the Tanakh prophets, they were, I don't believe that there are, you know, those were the prophets of God, okay? I mean, you can disagree or agree, but that's what I believe. It's a different type of anointing of a prophet, okay? And I think it's to exhort, teach, and preach the word that's been written. But the prophets in the Tanakh, they were every single, I mean, there's words that they spoke that are still waiting to come to pass. I mean, that's awesome. I mean, those are true prophets of God. And believe me, they paid the price. You know, now today it's like you hear the headlines, oh, prophet so-and-so is going to come here. Be here, come and get a word from God, you know, and people flock, you know. The prophets in the Tanakh, they weren't necessarily welcome because they came preaching repentance and giving warning and said, if you don't repent, this is what's going to happen, okay? And at the same time, false prophets arose, but the voice of the true prophet came to pass, and if what they said didn't come to pass, they got stoned. So you didn't call yourself a prophet unless you knew that you heard from God. Okay? But these men, and they were called to do some strange things sometimes. Were they welcome? No. Some were cut in half. They were treated, you know, terribly. Even Yeshua said, you kill the prophets that God has sent to you. Okay? But nowadays it's like, ooh, here's the prophet. Those aren't real prophets of God. I heard this one prophet say, I can't remember, you know, who he was, but or calls himself a prophetic prophet. Somebody was asking him, well, you know, how do you hear God's voice? You must spend a lot of time in the Word. He goes, I don't spend a lot of time in the Word. He goes, I just hear from God. It's like, uh-oh, warning, you know, it's like, then how do you know you're hearing from God if you don't spend a lot of time in the Word? You know, again, you're open to hearing deceptive voices. Yes, there are people who hear from God, but when somebody speaks a word from God, it's going to be aligned with this word, okay, and it's not going to add to or take away from the word of God. Miracles are not necessarily a sign of truth. Deuteronomy 13:1-2. If a prophet or someone who gets messages while dreaming arises among you and gives you a sign or wonder, and the sign or wonder comes about as he predicted, when he said, let us follow other gods which you have not known and let us serve them, why in this case does Hashem allow these miracles? The answer is given in 13:3. You are not to listen to what that prophet or dreamer says, for Adonai your God is testing you in order to find whether you really do love Adonai your God with all your heart and all your being. So he allowed these false prophets to come in to test him to see, would they really heed my voice? If somebody has a word for you, or somebody says, oh, you know, you don't have to do that, Torah. You know, get, it's like, false prophet, I'm sorry, according to the word of God, it's a false prophet. Maybe they're doing it out of ignorance, but you know what? God says, you don't have to fear them because they're not speaking from me. Hashem can allow signs or miracles to occur through the hands of false prophets or false anointed ministers to test our heart. Again, Matthew 24:24, for there will appear false messiahs and false prophets performing great miracles, amazing things, so as to fool even the chosen if possible. Believers will be seduced by the miracles of false prophets, false teachers, who teach that Torah is not valid, or who don't teach reach souls, but base their ministry upon signs. What power is at work behind such miracles? Laban, Pharaoh's magician, and Balaam were also miracle workers. The antidote is obvious. Follow his Torah. Okay? Deuteronomy 13:4, you are to follow Adonai your God, fear him, obey his mitzvot, listen to what he says, serve him, and cling to him. Any prophet who makes signs and wonders and does not reach souls to follow the Almighty and turn people from sin, transgression of Torah, is a false prophet who opens the doors to idolatry. 13:2, let's follow after other gods which you have not known, or let us serve them. Again, a prophet is always, what do they always preach? Repentance, come back to Torah. Repentance, go back to the Word. Johann sends a warning, 1 John 5:21. Children, guard yourselves against false gods, idols. The Apostle Johannes speaks of love and salvation in Yeshua in this epistle and warns us to dwell in his love and his commandments. Resuming Moshe's word divided into two parts, two commandments, love the Lord with all one's heart and the mitzvah of loving one's neighbor as oneself. 1 John 5:2, here's how we know that we love God's children. When we love God, we also do what he commands. Okay? What is he commanded? His Torah. Torah is all about our relationship with God and our relationship with one another. How we are to worship God, how are we to treat one another, how are we are to treat our bodies, how are we to eat so we can walk white in health. It's even been proven by science today that pork carries certain viruses that even if you cook it, don't leave the body. Okay, everything that God said not to eat are garbage pickers, they're scavengers. They've got their job to do, but they weren't meant to be in your body. Who wants to eat something that eats garbage and junk and rotten food? It's like, blech, you know? And I would tell you, when we started eating kosher, you know, like probably over 12 years ago, I used to get really bad bronchitis every year. Colds, flu. When I started following kosher, I haven't had a cold probably in almost 8 years. Been around people sneezing, coughing all over me. No bronchitis, no nothing. And I believe because I'm following God's ways. I'm doing what, believe me, I used to catch a cold. You just look at me and I catch a cold, you know? And it's like, God, why? Because God's showing us how to eat the right things. Matthew 5:18, Yeshua says, yes, indeed, I tell you that until heaven and earth pass away, not so much as a yud or a stroke will pass from the Torah until everything that must happen has happened. Again, we talked about, he's telling us to beware of false prophets that come in wearing sheep's clothing. Again, that spirit, they love going into congregations and stirring up trouble. They'll come in and act like they're part of you, that, yeah, they want to be a part of you, and all they do is cause strife and trouble and problems and splits. Now, I was sharing about how many, I think Eddie Chumney's a great teacher. How many, if Eddie Chumney had a congregation here, that you would love to go into his congregation? But we were talking, and he was sharing. He says, yeah, he says, you know what? He says, God led me to start a congregation. He says, he gave us everything we needed. We were growing. He says, and then people came in and they, you know, they didn't want to walk in agreement. We split. He says, they caused a split. Then another person came in and, you know, didn't want to walk in agreement. Another split. He goes, you know how many are in my congregation now? I thought, oh, you're going to tell us you're really growing. He goes, me. Something's wrong. Okay? There's something wrong. God does not, if God has called you to start a congregation, then you go out and start from scratch. There's over 8 million people in the Chicago area. There's plenty of people to reach. You don't go into other congregations and cause splits and draw people onto you, but that's what we see. I've talked to so many congregation leaders, and that's what people do. Oh, God's called me to a congregation, to start a congregation. What do? They go from congregation to congregation trying to draw people onto themselves. That's not how you do it. If God's called you to do it, you need to go out in the street. You need to go door to door. You need to, you know, reach people, and God will bring those who he will bring, okay? Those are wolves in sheep's clothing. That's a Jezebel spirit that comes in and brings strife and division. That's one of the things God says in Proverbs chapter 6 that he hates, is strife and disunity. When somebody comes in and causes strife and disunity among brethren. We're going to stop here because my conclusion is pretty long, so I was going to stop here. It's going to be like a two-parter. But I really want you to hear, because it really fits into what we just talked about. It is so powerful. Yes, Annie. Yes. Lifestyle. This just isn't, you know, about blowing a shofar and wearing a tallit. It's a lifestyle. It's to live. Right. You know, it's a lifestyle. And yeah, we have to be, you know, really in tune and to, you know, be good students of the Word of God. You know, again, the Torah being our foundation. But I appreciate, you know, what you had to share. It's like, yeah, we need to be very leery. A lot of people on the internet too. You know, people think, oh, they got an internet site. They must know what they're talking about. Wrong. Anybody can have an internet site and post stuff on it. You know, and again, as where our heart is, if you live near a congregation, you need to be a part of a congregation. The internet is not a congregation. I'm sorry. It's like, that's my opinion. It's got good info out there. You can get good information, you know, but it's not the same as this kind of fellowship, you know, fellowshipping together. Rejoicing together, sharing, celebrating together. That's what family is. That's what community is about. And that's one thing that's very strong in not just Messianic Jewish congregations, but even Jewish synagogues. They're very community-oriented, you know. And that's what I believe God wants to do, is build strong community with strong teaching in the Word of God. We're not playing games. We're not, you know, we don't play around here. We're not, you know, blowing the shofar because everybody else is doing it. We had this one, again, it was a church person. He was on this one show and he's talking about the tallit. You know, and he had no idea what he was talking about because he was like, everything he was saying about it was wrong. And I'm like, oh my. You know, it was just something
I
that, you know.
I looked at her and I said, you need to turn that off. Because
yeah, I want to see what people are, I want to find out what they're saying.
He was filling people, and these church people, they think, oh yeah, he really loves Israel.
Like, ooh, ah.
Right.
Right. Right.